Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the at-large PPM and ICANN Labs briefing session on the 24th of September 2013. And so we have today Chris Gift, who is going to speak, and also Carol Cornell, and they're going to give us an update on the on the ICANN Labs, which is something we've been hearing about for quite a while, but we're all eager and interested in finding out what's been happening and what is the latest update. So Chris Gibbs will be speaking to us about ICANN Labs. Carol Cornell will be speaking to us about the ICANN Portfolio Management System. We've heard about it, and we're hopefully going to be able to see it as well. And then afterwards, we'll have questions and hopefully answers on the ICANN Portfolio Management System. So it's two different presentations, two different question and answer sessions. Let's get on right away with Chris Gift, Vice President for Online Communication Services. Chris, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. First off, can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Good. Perfect. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't hear the first one. Yes, I'm going to be talking about ICANN Labs. It is also called Digital Engagement Project. That is how we sort of refer to it internally, and also externally, in that there's an advisory group that is called by the same name. But ICANN Labs is a means to an end. So I will walk through a series of slides. Please interrupt me at any time if I am speaking too rapidly or if you're not understanding. And I will perhaps skip a couple of slides because I know we don't have a lot of time, but this is there's a lot of depth to this topic, so I will try to move forward. And again, if I skip something too rapidly, please don't hesitate to tell me to step back. For those of you who have seen these slides or some of these slides in the past, I apologize if I'm repeating myself. First off, what we need to start is a bit at the beginning. I have to provide some context onto why we're doing what we're doing. In general, we view that people have a continuum of engagement when they participate within organizations like ours. You know, they move, they have a general interest, they become more engaged, and then they become highly involved over a period of time. And they move along this engagement depending on a lot of personal and professional reasons, right? They may be asked to join ICANN or an organization like this for professional reasons, or they may do it out of personal interest, like a lot of people you on the phone have in terms of just internet governance in general. And they need to be able to move in and out of an organization like this at their own pace and doing it on topics that are of interest to them. So somebody may be very highly involved on one particular topic and far less so on other topics. As an example, one that I commonly give is, you know, somebody may care deeply about the privacy issues surrounding who is, but really not care at all about anything else, such as like the registry agreements, or, you know, they may care a little bit about the registrar and agreements, how it touches on who is, but they may not care at all about anything else that goes on at ICANN. And so they may be highly involved when it comes to who is, and just expressing some general interest when it comes to the rest. So when we look at this, what we see, though, what we think about is how do we take this continuum of engagement and that eliminate any barriers for people being able to join ICANN, and how do we take this and how do we support them at the different stages of moving in or out of the organization? So the way we look at this, another model that you may have seen if you have participated in other ICANN meetings, that the Global Stakeholder Engagement Group uses a lot, is to view this as a series of concentric circles, you know, where people can move in and out of the organization along this continuum. And at different points or different circles, we do different things for them, or the organization does different things for them. For instance, you know, if they are trying to move into the circle, trying to engage, you know, we want to raise awareness. We want to educate, initiate engagement, you know, propose things or topics for people to engage, or methods for people to engage, or places for them to go to, other people to talk to. And as they become engaged, we allow them, we give them more information, you know, again, tell them who they should be, who can provide them help in terms of navigating the complexities of an organization like ICANN. And lastly, when you're in the inner circle, that's where you're engaged, heavily engaged in policymaking or influencing the policy. And in that, we need to provide very close support about that participation. So, you know, how is it that people can, you know, co-edit documents together effectively? How can they work within a working group effectively? So you can see that at each level, there are different tools. And people go in and out of these things, circles, depending on what it is that they need. But ICANN today, we see there's a big issue, right? We see that there's nothing meaningful in the middle, that people come to ICANN, and by this I mean digitally, right? Not in a wide variety of other ways. ICANN is very rich. But when it comes to the digital tools that are present on ICANN.org, there's very little that's there. Right? We do a reasonable job of publicizing information. And even there, I think a lot of people would see issues, and that it's difficult to find content and to somewhat make sense of it. But for somebody who's new, who's coming to ICANN.org, to ICANN, it can be very, very difficult to understand the complexities of what it is that we do and to see how it's relevant to them and then to join, right? I mean, nowhere on ICANN.org is there a join button or is there really any content about joining or how do you participate? To find that information, you have to go to the supporting organizations or advisory council websites or other structural websites like ALAC, and then you can begin to see methods for joining. But on ICANN, there's nothing there that helps people understand this on ICANN.org. So we really want to, so the ICANN Labs project is about this problem. So where we want to get to is where we support people at each stage at what they want to be at. I'm not suggesting, nor is anybody suggesting, that people should always move to the working groups and the inner circles. Not at all. That's not appropriate for everybody. Not everybody wants to participate or engage at that level. So we really want to be able to support people at the level that it's appropriate for them in terms of how they want to participate with an organization like ours. So how are we doing this? And again, this will be clear on ICANN Labs in just one more second, if you'll bear with me. We're working through this in a series of phases. We're really focused on newcomers, and somewhat how do we get them into phase two in terms of participating and following people. But the project of ICANN Labs and the Digital Engagement Project is all about newcomers, right? That's really its focus. But we had a lot of questions when we started this project and laid out this problem that we wanted to solve. We really, you know, first off, we said to ourselves, okay, where do we start? This is a big problem. So where do we start? Where do we begin? And an important one was how do we innovate? How do we test these ideas that stays true to us as an organization in terms of its multi-stakeholder model? You know, at staff, we didn't want to just start, you know, coming up with ideas and just start putting them up on a website. You know, that just felt to us that wouldn't, on ICANN.org, that we felt that it wouldn't work. Secondly, we also wanted to experiment. We wanted to, you know, do a fair amount of research, do a lot of research, interview people, talk to newcomers, talk to previous veterans who remember the days when they were newcomers and who helped them and how they became successful, and understand truly what the root causes of the issues are for people to coming up, to joining. You know, we hear quite a bit of it out of the meetings in, you know, Beijing and Durban when we ask people about these issues, and we had these outreach meetings, and we talked about ICANN Labs. You know, the issues that kept coming up are things like relevancy. You know, how is this data and content on ICANN, in ICANN, relevant to me? How is it relevant to my geography, me as a person? And also, you know, accessibility was another issue. So we really wanted to get to these root causes of what was hindering people. And lastly, you know, how do we test some ideas? We really, really wanted to test these ideas. Right, we really wanted to say, okay, if this is truly the problem, the root cause of this problem, and we have this idea for a test, you know, for saying, okay, this new application ought to solve this problem. Well, we really wanted to test that before we invested too heavily into that application, and we wanted to test that with all of you. Right, we just didn't want to test it ourselves in a dark room somewhere. We really wanted it transparent and open. So we did a lot of work. I'll just sort of skip out of this. You know, we can follow up. And we came up with this idea about ICANN Labs. Before I jump into this, I'll step back one slide. So what we ended up doing was we created this idea of labs. And labs is exactly that. It's a place where the community can see the work that around this activity that we are doing. So we said, you know, okay, you can go there right now. It's labs.icann.org. And where we would post all of our thinking along this project, you know, we would blog extensively. We would tweet if anybody wanted to follow us on Twitter. We would show all the work in progress at any time. We would invite people to comment and participate. We would invite people to volunteer and join this effort. And so that activity has actually, and I'll talk a little bit about the results of that activity in just a second, but that activity has been quite successful so far. So what we ended up doing is we ended up... Am I joining again? Okay, I'm launched again. Sorry, there was a little hiccup on my end. We ended up thinking about, you know, who it is that we're trying to solve the problems for. So we ended up crafting some personas and saying, you know, these people do not exist, by the way. They're just, you know, people that we sort of, out of our research and analysis and talking to everybody about what would be the typical problems and the people, the solutions we were seeking was, you know, these things. And it's better for us as we develop these kinds of applications if we have a particular person in mind, if we have an individual like, you know, Shandy or Pedro, that we can say, okay, you know, I'm developing the solution for us. It helps us. And so we ended up with these questions about, you know, how do they find the right person for Shandy? You know, she needed help navigating ICANN. Yes?
Chris, it's Olivia. I'm sorry. Your screen has stopped being shared. I just thought I'd let you know
okay.
that.
Yeah, I saw this hiccup happen, and then it started again. So I thought it was, okay, I'm going to do it right away. So share my screen. Okay. Thank you for interrupting me. I wasn't... Is it working?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. So we, as I said, we created this ICANN Labs, where we are, I was on this, I think this slide, correct, when we were talking about the personas. So our research, we threw the research, and we came up with these series of personas and the problems they're solving. And I can more than happy, please, this information is up on ICANN Labs so you can read, you know, in depth about these people. It's also on the Digital Engagement Advisory Group has this content. But if you want the content, I can easily send it to everybody that's on this list. I can get Heidi and Matt to send it out. And that has far more information about these personas. So I won't spend a lot of time on that. I know we probably want to get to questions. So we ended up, as I said, creating this place where we could experiment and could communicate and participate with the community. We ended up with four tracks. And the four tracks really tried to solve four different distinct problems that people were experiencing. So let me walk through these very, very rapidly. Again, you can find out far more by going to ICANN Labs and looking at the rich amount of content that's there. But in essence, the conversations track was trying to find a means of providing. There's a lot of content. Again, it's trying to provide relevance to some of this information. You know, a lot of people had struggled when they read, you know, either any of the policy documents or policy discussions that are ongoing or, you know, even going through public comment, looking at a document that is up for public comment. You know, what we kept hearing from newcomers was, you know, all this is well and good, but I'm not sure I understand this document and why it's important to me or why I should care about it or, you know, what is the rest of the community, what is the community discussing around this? Because for those of us who are part of the community, we do know that these conversations are happening, but they can be very difficult to find, especially if you're a newcomer where you don't know where to look. So there was this idea where we can provide very rich dialogue, a roundtable of experts. And these things, these dialogues, or these roundtables would be moderated by different individuals at different times. And they would be focused on specific topics. Now, this was an idea. We've been experimenting with it. I'm not sure that this one is successful. So one thing that I didn't really dwell on for ICANN Labs very much is that there is this idea that some of the experiments, being experiments, would not succeed. Right? We would have an idea. We would invest the minimum necessary to try the experiment out. And if it doesn't succeed, then that's also okay, right? We expect some failure throughout this process. Not a lot, but some. So this one is actually not succeeding as we had hoped or thought it would. So this actual experiment, if you go there now, you'll see that it's pivoting, that the conversation, and by pivoting, I mean that it is changing, it is altering. It is actually moving on to a slightly different idea. So this is something that's very interesting that's happening now. So I urge you to go look at this. And what they're trying to do now is really look more at how to provide more context around public comment process. So not the process itself, not influence to change the process, but how do we make some of that information more relevant to people so that they can participate more fully in the public comment, which is a very rich area for us as an organization where people, we should have a lot more people participating. There's a social media and push track, which is there where we're looking to curate streams. So we have volunteers that are gathering information from around the internet when it comes to topics that are important to ICANN, and they're curating these streams. So it's not just ICANN information, it's different information. The interesting thing about this stream, though, is not only that it is curated, it's also that at any one time, anybody can request a translation of an article or a document that's appearing in this stream of information. And it's not a translation into another language, it's a translation into plain English. So you can request this, and to be not too much of a burden to people, you know, you have to get a certain number of votes, and then it'll be translated. Anyway, again, it's very, very interesting, and then people can vote on the different versions of them to see, you know, was this practical for them? So again, it's trying to put this into put the articles and content into a language that is easier for people to understand and absorb, especially if they're newcomers. I'm conscious of time, so I'm trying to run through the last couple very rapidly. We're looking into the third one is one of the things that we found. So we have a network, an advisory network that we're testing out. And we're testing this one. This one, to me, is one of the most interesting. It's because when we talk to the people, newcomers, or who are veterans today, but were very successful veterans, in other words, they had joined a couple of years ago, but now they were successful in terms of their level of participation. They were satisfied. One of the things when we asked them how they became successful, invariably they said they had a good mentor, that they went to somebody who could answer questions for them and point them to the right place to go to where conversations were happening or where they as individuals could contribute to ICANN. But, you know, the idea is how do you turn that into a digital tool and how do you scale that in a meaningful way? So that is the question we're trying to solve with this one. And we think we have some answers, but we're uncertain. And again, this is being tested right now. We do have advisors, have signed up, have volunteered. I think we have 8 advisors, and we have the same amount. No, I think we have more, actually, advisees, people who are seeking help. And so right now they are posing each other questions, and the advisees are posing questions to the advisors, saying, hey, where do I go for X? Where do I go for Y? Or can you tell me a little bit more about this topic? And they are getting responses back. And so we're testing this idea out. And lastly, there is this idea of also that newcomers really want to know who people are in the organization so that they can identify them and say and know who they can approach or who is like-minded to them so they can approach and talk to and find out more about topics. So we had this idea of truly having what we're just calling passport for now, which is an identity for people who are participating in ICANN, and it would track or understand their levels of participation. This one has been very successful. We have had, I think, over 50 people have asked that we create their profiles for them. So that test is going on right now, and I think this one is actually very successful. Yes, the community is participating. We have a digital engagement advisory group of 29 members. We will accept anybody who wants to participate. So if you want to participate, please let us know. We're getting lots of visitors, over 600 people now have signed up to ICANN Labs and are following the activity there and reading the posts and commenting. So we have these 4 tracks. As they complete or they pivot, we will then take these tracks And the goal is obviously to take this activity, engagement activity, and merge this, meld this with the publications activity that currently happens on ICANN.org, so that later we have a new experience where people come to ICANN.org, and yes, they see all the content and everything that is there today, but they see new things as well. They see new capabilities for them to participate in ICANN and engage in ICANN. So the idea is to take these experiments, these successful ones, and start seeing how we can meld these two together. And then obviously release a version of this at some point where everybody can look at it and say, well, this is a good idea, or yes, this works, no, this doesn't work. And then together, everybody as a community can then move this work forward. And at some point, I don't know when, I just don't know. It really does depend on how the community reacts and also how successful we are at some of these experiments or how long it takes us to be successful at them. At some point in time, we'll end up with a new ICANN.org that'll encompass everything that we have today, right? All of that rich content, all of that functionality we have today, plus this engagement functionality. And that's it. I apologize. I took up 25 minutes, and I shouldn't have, I think. I should have left more time for questions, but I'm done. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much, Chris. I totally forgot that I was actually moderating, and I thought, okay, who's great? And I was going to put my hand up. In fact, I have put my hand up to wait for someone to let me speak, which is a little bizarre. Chris, thank you very much for this presentation. I was just going to ask you one question, and sort of one small remark. With regards to volunteers and to volunteer engagement, the one thing that has struck me recently is that you cannot qualify volunteers as just one single type of volunteer. The program at the moment seems to be particularly geared at people who are interested in internet policy and in the policy work that ICANN does. I have throughout time found that you do have another class of volunteer, the people who actually like organization building, which is slightly different than the policy itself. And I guess some people are both working on the organization building and the policy side. But so at the moment, I see a lot of it is geared at people who are interested in policy. Do you have anything for people who are interested in organization building?
You know, that's a very interesting point. And, you know, I guess the short answer is no, actually, because I hadn't really heard that as a persona or as a, you know, as a primary goal to participate in ICANN. But I can see that, though. I see your point. It's well taken. I have to think about that. I don't, but the short answer is right now is no, we don't have that. I'm assuming, yeah, anyway, I could brainstorm, but let me think about that. I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay, thank you, Chris. We have Tijani Benjamin, who's both a policy person and an organizational building person. So, Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you, Chris. I'd like to tell you that today another call, I thanked you a lot because there is a lot of things done and I can, mainly because of you, perhaps you are the main contributor. ICANN Labs, the online platform, what else? Another thing, the CROPP, etc. So a lot of things are done in terms of capacity building and learning in general. So thank you very much. I would like to answer the Olivier question. I am one of the advisors, and I receive most of the questions are about policy. That's right, but I receive some questions about organization also. So,
interesting.
I don't
very
know,
interesting.
But I think that we should perhaps, especially for the newcomers, for the advisees, we should give them the fields in which they can ask questions, so that they will not concentrate only on new GDLDs, etc., etc.
That's interesting. No, thank you very much for sharing that. Yeah, it's an interesting problem. To be perfectly honest, I hadn't occurred to me that people were joining for those, or would also have those concerns and issues. And want, I mean, obviously, growing the organization is a concern and issue, but would be expressing those right up front. And so thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Anyone else has any questions for Chris Gift? I note that there are people who ask whether you would be able to share the presentation again, Chris. I'm not quite sure whether. I know that you're sharing your screen. I don't know if it's possible just for the presentation to be shared and for people, I guess, to be able to flip through it at their own leisure. Or
Is it sharing now?
It's sharing, but you're sharing your actual screen. So
gotcha.
I'm not quite sure what the reason was for sharing the slides. I know that there's plenty. Will we be able to have access to the slides later on?
Yes, absolutely. I will send them on to Heidi and Matt, and they can share them.
Okay, that's great. Oh, and I see Ron Sherwood has put together a link over to the ICANN Labs and to the ICANN Labs persona. With all of with some of those slides and so on. This is all a complete wealth of information that is on there. So that's very, very good to see. Any questions from anyone? It seems you've overwhelmed everyone with information, Chris. Thank you very much for this. Maybe what we can do then is to now have Carol Cornell, who can give us her presentation, and then at the end of the call, if we have a little bit of time after Carol's presentation, then maybe we will be able to ask questions both to you and to Carol Cornell. And so now we've got this portfolio management system, which we have all heard about but haven't really seen anything about yet. And thankfully, Carol Cornell is there to tell us about it. So, Carol, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivia. I appreciate that. Hello, everyone. I am the Senior Director in the Project Office here at ICANN, and I thought I would spend about 15 minutes kind of giving you an overview of the Project Portfolio Management System and how you, too, can see all of the projects that ICANN is currently working on and demonstrate a little bit how you would use that data from as a community perspective. So today I'm going to give you kind of start with, and I'm going to flip here to the agenda. We're going to talk a little bit about the foundation and how it's set up and why it's in this structure. Secondly, we'll share some of the things that we've had since we have had this in place now about 9 months. Thirdly, we're going to open it up for question and answers once we put open the My ICANN site and look at the project information. And then we'll talk at the very end a few of the key steps that are still coming.
Carol, this is Heidi. Could you
yes.
just get a little bit closer to your microphone, please?
Ah, okay.
That's much better. Thank you.
Is that better? Okay.
Much better. Thank you.
So if you look at the screen now, you can see, if you will, the structure that was put in place to identify the work and have it match. So the purpose of the Project Portfolio Management System, or PPM, is to allow both staff, community, board, everyone to see that work. So ICANN's work is guided by the strategic plan, which as all of you participate in that process, and that is then formed into an overall strategic plan, which then ultimately moves into an operating plan each year. As part of the opening of its transparency and accountability mechanism that ICANN has committed to, we share and refresh the data that we provide on this project portfolio management system. Thirdly, to assist ICANN in effectively managing and prioritizing its work activities across the global workforce. So those are three key reasons why we put out the Project Portfolio Management System. I would share that the staff has access to this data all the time, and they're the ones updating the status of the projects based on each set of goals and objectives that are put together. So I'd like to kind of reiterate that there were four objectives, and an objective, if you were to look at the definition in the way we're setting this up, is it's a core foundational strategy upon which we want to achieve and the goals are set. Secondly, the goals are desired deliverables to meet the organizational wide objective. Those are the 16 here. Then the portfolio, and there's approximately 60 these days in the portfolio. Those are cross-functional work undertaken in support of the goals to fulfill deliverables and services. The reason for the X through the programs is we started to share that and a program in this particular usage for the tool was a collection of projects, but we thought having five layers of information was a little bit cumbersome, so we've eliminated the program and we've just gone straight to what I will call projects in the system. And in this case, a project is a temporary endeavor that has been defined beginning and end and a specific set of deliverables. I would also add in that large number of projects are what we have been labeling ongoing or activities. And the reason that is in there is because each department who has everything from front office duties or the administration work is included in this scope of work. And that is so that we can tie all those projects back to the budget and also so we can tie all that work when we're looking at resources and planning. So it allows us to have in one place that information. In putting out the project portfolio management system, we've heard some things, and I thought I would share, that the community have said they like and dislike, and also some of the challenges or things they would like us to continue to work on and improve. So some of the key likes are, if you were to go on MyICANN, you can clearly see what's an objective, a goal, a portfolio, and a project, and those ongoing activities. And they're all in one place, so you can also search for if you wanted to look for a particular project of interest. The second is it's a clear and simple hierarchy rolling into the four corporate objectives, and so it's a pretty straightforward link. In other words, when you're in the tool, a project is linked to a portfolio, which is linked to a goal, which is linked to an objective. I've mentioned that you can search for a project or an area of interest and topic using the MyICANN tool. And lastly, which I think is really important, each project is statused or updated continually, and then that information is snapshot and put out to the community on a regular basis. So it tells you if a project is on target, which means it's estimated to meet the planned completion date. If it's at risk, which means that it's tracking behind and is estimated completion date, or it's in trouble, which means it's not going to make the completion date, but there's a workaround or a strategy in place. And lastly, if we have finished that particular project and therefore we are tracking it as completed, so that you would know as a community where we are on any given project at a given time. The challenges that we've recently faced is the system was put in a fairly aggressive timeline, so we have been transitioning because we changed over budget years in June from FY13 to FY14. We had to recalibrate, put in the project references all tied to a budget, and that transition in terms of cleaning up the statusing, refining the work, doing a better job isolating each project and putting it there is something that is an ongoing effort. Secondly, many people asked for the FY14 budget tied to each one of the projects for costs. That is something that's being worked on but has had yet not been released. Lastly, there is some, as the system is fairly new, and it's taking a while to have everyone in the company understand and change along with the community and to be consistent and uniform with each one of the terminology, the definitions, the scope, is something that's still working to improve as we go forward. I'm going to take a minute now, and I'm going to change and share my screen over to the My ICANN and work on that. But if you wanted to follow along, you too could go to the link that I've put at the bottom of the screen and go to My ICANN, which is on the front page of our website, and that's where I'll go from here. So I'm going to stop sharing for a minute and reopen to that. Can you see on the screen now, Heidi, the My ICANN?
Carol, I can see something loading, so just 2 moments, I think.
Sure.
Okay, Carol, it's showing?
It is?
Yes.
Great. So if you were to go onto ICANN's website, as I mentioned, and click on the My ICANN, you would come to this front entrance page. If you go to the fourth tab where it says Projects and click on that, you can see the portfolio management system that we're sharing. It reiterates a little bit about the purpose that I've highlighted before. It also connects the objectives to the goals, the portfolios to the projects. And in looking at this screen, you can see the four objectives, the first one being affirmation of purpose, the second one, internationalization, the third, multi-stakeholder evolution, and four, operational excellence. And with that, you can see the status in the bar below. What the blue means is what is completed, and it shows 61% if you were to highlight or hover over it for affirmation of purpose. Target, what's on target for this year is 31%. 5% is at risk, and 3% is in trouble. It allows you, therefore, to see most of the work that says completed that's blue. It was the FY13 project workload, which is depicted on here. As we are transitioning between 13 and 14, we wanted to show what the project workload that was completed. If you were to take affirmation of purpose and go down below, you can see that it has the four objectives. And for just to show clearly, if we went to the goal called deliver core internet functions, which is one of the goals, you can see a series of portfolios. So within that portfolio, let's say we picked on IANA operations just to highlight and click on it. So what I've done is I've showed that the objective is affirmation of purpose. The goal is one of the four is deliver core internet functions. There is, as you can see on here, six portfolios. One of those portfolios, if you clicked on it, you could see the variety of projects on the left-hand side, and you will see the status overall of that portfolio. If you were to click on any one of the projects, and let's pick, IANA Trust, you can see, looking at the IANA SIS Trust audit, which happened in the audit of 2013, you see a description. You see the plan start, the plan completion, which is for 2014, the metric, which is how you would measure success, and what we would use, the dependency, in this case, what other groups you're relying on to complete the effort, the people, in this case, stakeholders who are involved in the project, and if you looked up a topic called IANA Functions Contract, you would also see the connection between the two. This allows the community the ability to look at any given project and fill in all of the same components for each project. You'll also see the status over here on the right-hand side, which shows in this case this project's on target. It says this was updated August 31st. You will see a new update here in the next week or so. You will see it updated. I'd like to say what you don't see on here, again, is the budget, and that is something that is being worked on, and for each project there would be a budget allocation put on this page going forward. I think the next thing I think that would be really important to share, and I'm going to go back, is I'm going to go back to the front page for a moment, sorry. If you were to go back to the front page and you were to see the button up on the top right-hand side, if you were to click on that, if you don't want to look at the projects inside of the objective or a goal, but you wanted to look for one specific project, if you clicked on this button, it allows you to see all the projects by name, the objective that it's connected to, the portfolio that it's connected to. And if you clicked on any one of these, it would allow you to go to that specific project. So if I clicked on At Large Summit FY14, it, again, puts all of the data in front. Okay? So I'm going to go back to that list. The other thing I think it's really important to know is you can search. So let's say you wanted to look up IANA operations, just like the topic I had before. If you put IANA up here, you'll notice that the database is tied, and in the portfolio, you can see all of the IANA operations portfolio components. If you wanted to look up, and I'll just pick on a specific project because it's coming here, if you put, for example, so if you put business excellence, I can't spell. Sorry about that, guys. You can see all of the issues with business excellence in the title. You can see anything, and here is the one that says business excellence dash process review and improvement. Because I just picked two words, it sorted for those two words, and it put them up on the screen, and then you could click onto that project, and again, it would take you to that data and information. Okay? So, having said that, I'm going to open the line, if you will, to take any questions that anyone might have on about the portfolio management system.
Thank you very much, Carol Cornell. As you say, the floor is open for questions or comments. Eduardo Diaz, you have the floor.
Eduardo Diaz for the record. I have a question. I just put it in the chat, but, you know, once we look at the lower, you know, when we keep looking at the portfolios and how things are at risk or complete, is there a way we can link from there to a wiki page, specific documentation, email records that are part of that project, so we can look at the details on this project, or because that's like kind of missing from there.
I think that's a great suggestion. It is not yet, there's not a URL for that project on that connects both between what the status of a project is and where you could go find on our wiki, if you will, each project. Not every project has a link on a wiki right now, but you're making a really good point, and I would like to say we will consider how we could do that so that you could share more detail of documents. But it is something that is something that would need to be developed and is not in place at this time.
Thank you. And the other question that I have is, you know, I'm just curious how something is determined as a risk versus complete, or you know, how is that determined?
It's a great question. I'm going to tell you there is a series of tasks and subtasks behind each project, and those tasks and subtasks have been given individual completion dates. And if a task is on the critical path of that project, it would take that and move that project from, let's say, on target to at risk. If something isn't at risk, it means it's also on the radar to be watched and helped resolve the issues or concerns or complete the task at hand as quickly as possible. And we do get notifications in the system that we're using if a project is overdue of a given task to help people mitigate those issues before the date is missed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Question with regards to the updating of this system. Is this updated by the respective people in their own departments, or is this centrally updated?
So it's a great question. Thanks, Olivier. Each staff person at ICANN has access to the system, and if they are given a particular task as the owner of that task, they have the ability to update the status of that given task. So every project has a project owner, and the project owner's responsibility is to oversee the project progress, and so the project owner is watching the project on a regular basis and statusing it. Anand, who's here with me, wants to give a comment as well. I'm going to let everybody hear his thoughts as well.
Hi, everyone. We are using a centralized project portfolio management system, and almost all the staffs are already using that system for internal use. And some data, we are just trying to move from that system, and now we are just linking this to MyICANN so that outside world also can see.
Thank you, Anand.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's going to be a speaking. Now, on projects which have more than one owner, joint projects and so on, how does this work? Does everything need to be just allocated to one of the two owners or owning departments, or how does it pan out?
So in this system, it does not allow multiple owners. So what we do is we consciously decide who the project owner is. And in this case, it is typically a staff member who has that responsibility to oversee the project in our system to date. So the reason that's done is to your point, there may be a project owner, but there is also potentially a portfolio owner or a sponsor, and it allows both are noted in the tool so that if you wanted to bring in a project up that's having an issue, you can take it up the chain of responsibility to get it resolved quicker and more effectively. Or, of course, as a project owner like I might, you might call the team together and figure out how to resolve that matter.
Great. Okay, thank you. Next is Eduardo Diaz. Eduardo, you have the floor.
Thank you, Oliver. This is Eduardo. This is just a suggestion that, you know, when I look at one of the portfolios, like, you know, one of the, you see all the projects, and there is this portfolio status that says on target, complete, at risk. When I move my pointer around them, a little box comes that says on target 55%. I mean, this is just an example. And really, if I want to know which projects are on target or complete, I have to go, you know, one by one to see which one is on target, which is one which complete or at risk. And I would suggest that, you know, instead of putting the name there that in the portfolio status, you know, you should have a list of the projects are on target and or complete at risk, so I don't have to go one by one to find out which one is on target or not. This is just a suggestion. I think this is great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo.
Yeah, Carol?
No, thank you. That's a suggestion we'll consider. The reason it was set up the way it is to allow people to see within each objective how the progress is being made, but it is not listed for each project that's on risk or at target. I can assure you that from an internal management perspective, we do look at exceptions and or make sure that those projects that are noted as at risk or in trouble do get the focus and attention when they are flagged accordingly.
Okay, thank you, Carol. I have a question with regards to the status. So you've got at risk and you've got okay, and then you've got then the red one as well. When does something become at risk as such?
I would like to say that behind each one of these projects is a series of tasks and subtasks that have various owners of a task and a subtask. So as the project is looked at, it's the critical task or subtask in that chain of work that has to be done on that project that determines whether a project becomes at risk or in trouble. So
is there any way to home in onto the tasks and subtasks? Because I click on the target, if you want, and it basically just says, you know, on target, or it says at risk, the whole project. But I'm not quite sure exactly where we are then at that point. Or is this just the front-facing part and staff has more information in the rear-facing part?
Your second half of your response is correct. This is just the front-facing part. Staff does have more detail lists and access to the tasks and subtasks of a project. It's just an awful lot of information, and it allows the project owner to manage all of those tasks and subtasks collectively rather than individually.
Okay, excellent. Cheryl Langdonor. And Cheryl, we can't hear you at the moment. We usually can.
Staff have muted me.
Ah, and now we can hear you. And how dare have staff muted you? Honestly, please, Cheryl, you have the floor.
I can only assume that it's the morning background noises happening here that cause that, or my lines sometimes get a little crackly. Okay, Cheryl, for the record. Carol, thanks for your presentation on this. I just want to follow on from Olivia's last point, I guess this is more comment than question, because I'm sure you know well and truly that we are a hungry lot for information out here in the ICANN community, and in particular in at large. It concerned me that obviously there has to be a lot more information, but you might want to be able to give at least periodic explanations for those at risks and other types of categories. To the casual observer who's just done what I've done and gone through everything that starts with the word ALAC, I'd be very concerned about Heidi's performance because it isn't in yellow. Now, luckily I know Heidi pretty well, and I'm pretty sure there's a whole lot of, you know, stuff I'm not seeing other than a pretty yellow colour. You know what I mean? We're being transparent and accountable, but we also have to make sure that we give enough information that the right assumptions are being made. That's all. Thanks a lot. Sorry, Heidi. I thought I'd just pick on you because I know you can take it. In fact, I'd be equally concerned about David Olive, having gone through a bit of his work too. So just a lot of things he owns is a bit of a worry too.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And as we know, the color of the Turkish flag is red, so that might have something to do with the overall look on David Olive's flag. But anyway, Carol, back to you.
It's a great question. It is right now. We have only put this as much of this information as we could share. You know, the concern from my perspective is, would it cause more confusion than harm if we gave too much detail? But I understand the need to have good visibility into projects, and this is a good benchmark to allow people to see all of the work in one place and do that. But I've written down that one of the goals might be to be able to have a comment section where that in one of those pieces, if something was flagged, could we allow for a brief explanation if necessary. So I've put it as a wish list for the future, and we'll do it. I'll carry on that way, if you don't mind, Cheryl.
Sure.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Carol. Any other questions or comments, both to Carol Cornell and to Chris Gift? I do realize we are reaching the end of this call. It is the top of the hour, and I do have, and I guess several of us have another call right after this one. But really well done for all the work that's been done so far. It seems very promising. Certainly, as Cheryl said, we love information in this community, and we certainly would like more. So I do hope that we will be able to dig more into the dashboards. And as a top-level dashboard, that certainly is a good step forward. And certainly finding out all of the projects that are taking place. In fact, I can think of several more projects than this coming up as well. But being able to dig into the projects afterwards and go deeper is probably the next level that we'll be looking for in this community. I open the floor one last time for questions or comments.
This is Eduardo. Can we use
Yes, go ahead, Eduardo, and please, I think you might need to turn your speaker off when you speak. Go ahead, Eduardo.
Is it a possibility that we can this tool to be used by the other constituencies, like a LAC, and, for their own use? Because I think it's a great, great tool. Just thinking aloud.
Yeah, Toro?
It's a great question. I would think one of the challenges, we're paying on a per-seat basis for this data, and so it is limited. I mean, we are paying for, if you will, a seat per employee. I don't know if we can roll it out to be a bigger use. Maybe what we could explore is how that interface would work. So it's worth exploring, but there are some limits because the data, the portfolio management system behind this data information is done on a per-seat basis, which I don't know how it would work dealing with the community at large, if you will, having access. So I'll have to do some research. That may not work as cost effectively, but there may be a way to provide a tool like this on a maybe one per SO and AC group or something. I'll explore it some further, but you should be comfortable that any of the work that like the Heidi is doing is covered in here, so a lot of that information is available in here for your information to share.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Carol Cornell, and thank you very much, Chris Gift, both of you for joining us. Will we be able to have access to, we've obviously got access to my ICANN, but do we also have access to your presentation, Carol?
Absolutely. I know Heidi has it, and I'm sure I'm fine if she'd like to post it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. This has been very informative, and this call is now adjourned. So thanks to all of you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.